Thank you for everybody for coming. It's a really exciting day for us. From the beginning in the interview process, Caleb just stood out. And in anything, there's alignment. And with Caleb, from the beginning, you could see it was a great fit. Great fit for me as a sporting director and what we want to do soccer-wise. Great fit for our president, Brian Bolello, and our owners that are here today. Caleb is a proven winner. He's got incredible experience. He's won everywhere he's been. College level, in Portland, in Columbus, and he's going to do it here in New England. He's somebody that I have enormous respect for, and there's really no more introduction. Welcome, Caleb.
Caleb?
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm honored to be named the head coach of the New England Revolution. This is an exciting day for me. I want to start by thanking Robert and Jonathan Kraft, our president, Brian Bolello, and our sporting director, Kurt Anolfo. As Kurt mentioned, I felt an immediate connection with the people in the club, and it was clear that there was alignment in terms of vision and values. Also, it was clear and evident that this is a club with a very strong foundation to build on from the standpoint of the people, the staff, the infrastructure, and the roster. Those two aspects were really important to me in my decision, and ultimately that's why I felt like this was the ideal fit. The team is ripe for success, and I look forward to getting to work with the players and helping them continue to leave a legacy and hopefully put more trophies in the trophy case. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're going to get started with questions. We're going to open up with Frank, and if you could just wait for a moment, Dan's passing a mic around. We'll go to Frank, and then we'll go to Rich Thompson with the Boston Herald.
Great. This is for Caleb. Welcome. This team has come close to getting back to the MLS Cup in recent years, and including 2020 when your team actually knocked them out in Columbus. So how do you rate this team? Are they capable of getting back to the MLS Cup, and what's your expectations?
Yeah, again, like I said, very strong foundation. And that was important to me. You know, obviously, as a coach, when you're exploring jobs, you would prefer to go into a good job with a good roster, with good people and a good infrastructure and good owners. And again, I feel very fortunate to be able to lead this club with the history and the tradition. The New England Revolution are very well respected. It was a club I admired from afar. And you know, I feel fortunate to have the group of players that I have. Of course, we'll put our tweaks on things. We'll continue to always look at the roster and how we can make it better. But absolutely, I wouldn't have taken the job unless I felt we could win an MLS Cup here. And now, obviously, you say that's the vision, but there's a long process to get there. Over my 9 years in the league, I've developed a blueprint and a process to get there. And so, you know, I have the experience of doing it, but I also know how hard it is to do it. And it's going to take every single day. You know, I believe that the daily details determine the difference. That's the edge. And I plan to, the work's already began, but I plan when preseason starts to hopefully, you know, create that edge. Those margins, the 5 to 10%, which is the difference in winning an MLS Cup.
Next, we'll go to Rich Thompson with the Herald, and then Hayden Bird with Boston.com.
Hi, Caleb. Welcome to Massachusetts.
Thank you.
Just having already game planned against the Revolution, do you see the pieces in place to fit that blueprint you just mentioned?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, a little bit different system they've been playing. So I have some ideas on some ways to make the club better. Again, there's a strong foundation, but my goal is to make the club better. And I think the club needs to be better in certain ways to obviously achieve the goals that we want. You know, they played a lot out of a 4-4-2 diamond, which worked really well, obviously, when they won the Supporters' Shield. Didn't work quite as well in the years after. You know, I have my ideas on the structure and the philosophy that I'll implement. I won't go into those details, but, you know, I think the players, by and large, fit the vision that I have.
We'll go to Hayden Bird, Boston.com, and then we'll go to Seth.
I know you mentioned you don't want to give away too many specifics, but just for fans who are curious, I guess, how would you like your team to play, and what is kind of your basic philosophy and approach to the game?
Yeah, it's really important to have a clear identity. You will know, you know, what that identity is. It'll be very clear on the pitch. When you look at the two other clubs that I was in, you know, in 2015 and 2020, those teams that were fortunate enough to win MLS Cup, there you'll see a DNA and some similarities. You know, an aggressive, proactive way of playing, which I believe in. I prefer to decide the game. You know, football's it's a cruel sport. So I believe in reducing the element of luck by playing in a proactive way, by deciding the game with the ball and deciding the game without the ball by playing in an aggressive way. But I've also learned that you need to be adaptable from team to team, roster to roster, and highlight the players that you have. And also be pragmatic game to game, you know, regarding the opponent, the conditions, the tight windows we're going to be in. So we'll have a very clear way of playing. You'll see that. It'll be exciting. You know, we'll decide the game with the ball, and we'll create a lot of chances and score goals. We'll play aggressively defensively as well. But I think you'll see that we'll adapt to win. That's the key. You know, we'll adapt to win, and we will respect the opponent. So it won't be predictable.
Next question, we'll go to Seth McCumber with the Blazing Musket, and then we're going to go to Connor with MassLive.
Congratulations, and welcome to New England. You talked about RevolutionSoccer.net, that you were talking to the players. I'm curious, what were some of the themes that came out of those conversations, and was there a particular conversation with a player that was illuminating to you?
They were all enjoyable. You know, I do this for the players and the supporters. But what makes me tick, what gets me out of bed every day, is working with the players and helping them develop, reach their potential, leave a legacy. You know, when I, you know, get old and gray, I'll look back and think about the players that I worked with and the relationships I built with them. So, you know, it took me about a week to get through all the players. But I wanted to take the time to do that, and I loved it, you know, getting to know the guys, and they're all good guys, you know. There's no knuckleheads here. You know, it's a good group of guys, really good group of guys. So, you know, Kurt and the Crafts, and obviously the previous people in the club have done a good job of building a good locker room, which is important, you know, because you don't win without a good locker room. But my first call was to Carlos. You know, we're going to have a great relationship. He's going to be key in our game model, really key. And I think he's, you know, one of the best players in the league. So I'm looking forward to working with him.
Next, we'll go to Connor with MassLive, and we'll go to Sam.
Hey, Caleb. So in Kurt's introductory press conference, he mentioned about, you know, being excited to build the team in his vision. And now that you've signed two of your players from former stops, I mean, how do you think your two visions have combined?
Yeah, really well. Really well. And again, you know, I pick jobs carefully. But I've learned the most important thing is alignment. You know, and I was I immediately felt connected with Kurt in our initial conversations. We saw the game in a similar way. You know, that makes it easy. you know, the way we see the game, the way we see players, you know, the areas that we know we need to address. I really liked that Kurt had been a coach. You know, he had been a coach. He's been in this chair. He knows what it feels like when you win, when you lose, the pressure, all of it. He understands the dynamics of being a coach. That's hugely important. You know, and I love that. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a great relationship, working relationship with Kurt and Brian and the Crafts. And, you know, it was easy. So in terms of the vision, I think we see the game, you know, similarly. You know, we want to play in an aggressive way. You know, we would prefer to have the ball. We would prefer to press high. That's what the way the best teams play. But we have to look at each game and go, okay, there's another team, and what's the best way to win? Because it's about winning.
Kurt, is there anything you'd like to add to that? Or,
I mean, you know, we wanted a strong leader. We wanted a proven winner. And we wanted somebody that wanted to coach our players. And it just came out so evidently in the interview process. From the first time we had a conversation, where most of those conversations would have lasted just an hour, we spoke for 2 hours, and it just flew by. So you could just tell right from the beginning that we were aligned. And that's exciting, because, you know, we have an obligation to our owners, we have an obligation to our president, we have an obligation to our fans to build a product that we can all be proud of, and we want to win. But that doesn't just happen. You have to earn the right to win. And you do that by signing good players, by working extremely hard every day, try to find an edge. Robert always tells me every time I talk to him, how can we gain an edge on our opponents? So how do we do that? And that's through intelligence and, you know, working hard each day, but being smarter than the other people that we're competing against. And that was just evident throughout the process. And, you know, since we hired Caleb, the work that we've put in, we'll be announcing next week the staff that we've put in place. It is outstanding. We already have a great working relationship, and I love the way his teams play, and it's very similar to what we've implemented in our youth development system. So it's the perfect fit, and I'm really excited to help Caleb be successful at the first team level, because that's my job, to help Caleb.
Great. We'll go to Sam Minton with the Blazing Musket, then we're going to go back to Rich and Hayden.
Hello, Caleb. Welcome to New England. Obviously, the last permanent head coach was Bruce Arena, so I just wanted to ask, just how do you manage your placing such a large figure in American soccer, and just how do you hope to leave your imprint on the organization?
Yeah, well, I don't think about replacing anyone. You know, we're all stewards of the club, you know, players and coaches. And ideally, you know, when we take jobs as coaches and as players, we want to leave something meaningful, you know, in terms of, again, a legacy and trophies. And we know that, you know, our time depends on how we do. I have a lot of respect for Bruce. You know, he was, when I was a young coach, a role model. You know, he was a guy that came out of college like me. We've had a good relationship over the years, so I respect him and I respect what he's done in his career. But we're turning the page, we're looking ahead, and I'm not thinking about anything other than trying to help these players reach their potential and win. So that's what I'm focused on. Every coach is different, you know. And actually, even the good ones are very different, you know, in terms of what they like and how they work. I am who I am. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. I had a lot of time in this year off to reflect on all those things. this would be my 10th year in the league, and I've learned a lot. You know, I've won, but I've also been bloodied too a little bit. So I think that's good. I get better. I'm a growth mindset guy. I get better when, you know, when I get feedback.
Go to Rich Thompson with the Herald, and then back to Hayden Bird.
It's for both gentlemen. First, Kurt, can you give us an update on where Dylan and Brandon are now? And for Caleb, how do you integrate dynamic players like that back into the system when the season's underway?
So in the case of Dylan, he's doing great with his recovery. We're expecting him to be on the field April or May of this year. Hopefully it could happen earlier, but he's well on track and doing very well in his rehabilitation. Brandon Bye is a little same thing. He's working extremely hard to get back. His timeline's a little bit later. We're looking late summer for him returning.
How do you integrate injured players back into the system mid-season?
Well, it happens a lot, you know, in this league especially. There's a lot of injuries, unfortunately. But that'll be an important piece, is how we can minimize injury through our sports science, our awareness of that, and in our planning. Again, if we're good with our planning, you can't avoid some injuries, but soft tissue injuries you can avoid. It's a mistake. So we need to make sure our planning is good in terms of how we periodize the players physically. But the medical staff, the sports science staff, you know, they'll have a plan to reintegrate these guys where they can hit the ground running. They're two key players, though. They're two key players. But we have a very deep team. You know, I feel like we're pretty close to having a very good 1-2 in every position in our depth chart, which is really important in this league when you're trying to manage multiple competitions. You have midweek fixtures 2 days in between. You have to rotate. It's a long season. So I think the teams that are able to rotate without missing a beat and still get results are the teams that over the long haul find success.
It's almost like they're summer signings. You know, in the case of Barrero, hopefully it's earlier. But in the case of Brandon, it's adding really great players to your roster midseason. So that's kind of how we've planned it out.
Great. Go to Hayden Bird.
Something that's more notable at the club in the last couple of years is the development of its academy. I guess, what is your view of the academy here, and how much of an emphasis might you place on promoting younger players?
Yeah, real strength. When you look around the league, I think the Revolution made some waves. You know, you start to see the clubs that are producing young players, and you know, the New England Revolution, you know, you can see that they have guys coming through. So they're, for me, it says they're doing a good job. I think Kurt's done an outstanding job with the pro pathway. And we want to be a vertically integrated club, and we want young players to come through for a lot of reasons. It's good for a locker room. It's good for succession planning. It's the supporters like homegrown players. I like working with young players. I started my career as a youth developer. But it was noticeable when I started really digging into the games, the talent, you know, in like a Buck and an Ezmir, I won't pronounce his last name, and, you know, Jack, I won't pronounce his last name either, but, I mean, those are three very talented players, and there are more that are coming through, so it's exciting.
Great, we'll go back to Seth McCumber.
You mentioned next week that you're going to announce the coaching staff. Can you talk a little bit about the process of building out a coaching staff? What were you looking for in the interview process? And for Kurt, last year, Richie Williams was given some time off. Can you give us a status update? Will he remain with the club? What's the conversation like with Richie Williams?
Yeah, I'm only as good as my staff, right? So it's really important. Again, I've learned being head coach now quite a long time. What I need. So there'll be a couple staff members that were with me in Columbus that will join, and I'll also, I always think it's important to maintain some continuity And so we're going to be keeping Clint PA on my staff. Had several conversations with him. Really liked those conversations. He's worked with the team. He knows the players. He's obviously been with Revs too. He knows the young guys. You know, it's good to have some intel, you know, with someone here on the ground. So so he'll be on my staff along with two other assistant coaches.
Yeah, and we'll announce those next week. And we've worked tirelessly to make sure that Caleb has a staff that he's comfortable with so that he can hit the ground running. And Caleb got himself in town on the 2nd of January, and we've been working well in advance of that. In terms of Richie Williams, he's a valued part of our organization, and we're looking at how we're going to incorporate him into our organization moving forward. Thanks.
For next question, we'll go to Caroline Oatway with Revolution Soccer, and then back up to Sam.
Caleb, welcome. Obviously, we spoke previously about the pieces that you felt that the club needed. You said that there didn't need to be much, but what have you outlined of what the club actually does need moving forward roster-wise? And obviously, you've brought in Jonathan Mensah. Could you talk about him and the qualities you feel he'll bring to the squad as well?
Yeah, with Jonah, I felt it was a great piece to add. When you look at Bai being out, Farrell's going to have to cover at times along with Nick Lima at right back, which means we don't have a ton of cover behind Romney and Kessler. So Jonah gives us a very experienced player. I know his character, his leadership, his integrity. It's really important the players in and the players out. Our filter on that, I've learned, is massively important, right? You don't want to make mistakes with guys out or in. And, we need to be comprehensive and thorough, not just soccer-wise, but character-wise. And, Jonah was my captain, so I know his character. I know what he can do. He's at a stage in his career where he's not going to play every game. But the games he plays, he's going to be fresh, and he's a quality player. A couple years ago, he was one of the best defenders in the league. But he's 33. But he'll be a great, great cover piece. And we start the year with a crazy compacted schedule. And so, having done this before with CONCACAF, Champions League, Champions Cup. Now, you can't overcook your guys early in the year and get injuries, because then now the rest of the year you're behind it. So, it's really important we rotate. And early in the year, it's important for the players to get a chance, too, to feel a part of it, to take ownership.
All right. So I have time for a couple more questions, so we'll go back to Sam here.
And Caleb, you also have a DP striker in Giacomo Vrioni, kind of struggled for some minutes at times, but also was able to score some goals. I guess just what are your early impressions of him, and also too, what were your conversations like with him?
Yeah, so I always look at every player's strengths, and I believe that my job is to bring out a player's best, and to help them reach their potential. And not every player works out, but I believe that Giacomo will work out. And if I didn't, I would have told Kurt that right away. But I actually try to be very objective and open-minded. I have opinions of all the players based on watching a lot of games. But, I need to be open-minded regarding who's going to play, who can play with who, That part of it's very underrated, just the chemistry and unlocking the potential of a player. So for me, Giacomo is a true number nine. He's mobile. I think he's a big boy. He's strong. He can play with his back to goal, although I think we need to work on that a little bit. His movement's good behind the line. He's great in the box. His work rate's good, so having looked for strikers, it's hard to find a guy that has all those things, to be honest with you. He's got a good age. I enjoyed my conversation with him. He's kind of a funny Italian guy. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he's got a good energy. So he's shown he can score goals. So I think I look at how can we help him score goals? You know, how can we put him in positions to finish? How can we organize some, you know, some ideas and some patterns of play to get him service? But I think he can score goals if you put him in the right position. Defensively, it's really important that he's the first line of pressure. And, you know, he's not a walk-around guy. He'll work along with Carlos. So if you're 9-10, work, then, you know, we can do a lot of different things defensively in terms of pressing. And that's huge. I prefer that than having to work around guys that, you know, don't work hard.
Go to our last few questions here. Hayden had his hand up, and then go back to Seth.
Just regarding the long-term vision of the club, have you had any conversations either in the interview process or since you've been here about the possibility of the club building a soccer-specific stadium? And I guess, what are your thoughts on that just in general?
Well, it'd be great, you know. And yes, it has been mentioned, but, you know, I'm focused on now. And I'm not worried about what we don't have, you know. I'm excited about what we have, and we have a lot in this club to be pleased about. It's the best training ground that I've been to, honestly. That's no knock on any of the other ones I've been at, but in terms of the setting and the building, and it's a proper training ground, one of the best in the world, honestly. That's where we work every day. That's our church, you know, and where we go to get better and. I love that. That was huge for me, that daily environment. So, it'd be nice to have a new stadium, but I'm focused on right now, and the team's very good at home. And the fan base, I've noticed, seems to be getting better and better. It seems like there's a groundswell right now with the supporters. And the home record has been very good. So, I'm focused on that right now.
All right, to wrap us up here, we'll go to Seth, and then we'll finish up with Sam.
Last season, the club brought in Thomas Vaslik, who did not play a minute. Kirk, can you talk a little bit about the process of bringing in that player and his status? And then for you, Caleb, can you talk about the goalkeeping position? And is that an area of, you know, you might want to do something with? And are there other positions that you might want to strengthen before the season begins?
Yeah, we're going to be adding a goalkeeper. Yeah, soon.
And I'll add that, you know, we have our roster compliant date down the line. Our job is to make sure that we have the best roster possible. So right now things are fluid, and we'll continue to make sure that we're enhancing our team. Obviously, Caleb has talked about the goalkeeping position. Having said that, we are very happy with Earl Edwards and Jacob Jackson, because they're both two quality goalkeepers. You know, Earl played some great games last year, and he's continually getting better. He's, you know, gained some enormous experience last year. And Jacob Jackson is a young goalkeeper that has a really bright future. So, but our, you know, like Caleb says, we want to be deep in every position. So we're going to look to continually get better and keep pushing forward.
For our last question, we'll go to Sam.
And Caleb, you kind of talked about the sports science aspect. So obviously, you know, you're going to be spending majority of your time on a grass playing field, but, you know, games will be played on turf. So I guess just overall your thoughts or opinions on, you know, playing your games on an artificial surface.
Yeah, well, I spent 5 years in Portland where we played games on turf. And it's interesting because it's really not a big deal. You know, unless you make it a big deal. I'm a big believer that if you make things a big deal mentally, it's always a big deal, you know. And I just don't think, I actually think it's nice to know. You know exactly what it's going to be like. You know, it's controlled in a lot of ways. And the players don't need a ton. Good players are good players on any surface and in any situation. And there's little things you got to adjust in terms of weight of passes and those type of things. But, they don't need a huge transition from grass to turf. You know, we will get on there from time to time, but you know, I don't see it being an issue at all. And again, I'll go back to the home record's been good.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you all for your questions.